When Bernie Madoff's $50 billion fraud scheme collapsed in 2008, it sent shockwaves through the global financial system. Yet amid this catastrophic failure of ethics and oversight, Daniel Pena saw opportunity where others saw only disaster. "The paralysis of fear can cost dearly," he writes, "while the rewards of determined courage are incalculable." This philosophy forms the backbone of his unconventional business manifesto that has become required reading for ambitious entrepreneurs worldwide. Endorsed by corporate titans like former Siemens CEO Dr. Klaus Kleinfeld and studied by thousands of business students, Pena's methodology has transformed ordinary business people into extraordinary wealth creators. His Quantum Leap Advantage, QLA, framework isn't theoretical. It's the battle-tested formula that helped him transform an $820 investment into a $400 million energy corporation in just 8 years during the worst oil recession in decades. What makes this book different from typical business advice? Pena doesn't just tell you what to do, he shows you how to develop the mindset required for exponential success in a world that constantly tells you, you can't do that. This isn't a book about feeling good about yourself. It's about making so much money, you have to weigh it rather than count it. The conventional wisdom peddled by most success gurus is that if you feel good about yourself, you'll make money. I built a company to over $400 million working on the premise that all conventional wisdom is crap. The truth is that when you make a lot of money, then you'll feel good about yourself. Most seminar speakers fill conference rooms with desperate audiences seeking the big lie about personal success. They serve up familiar platitudes. Achieve balance between business and personal life. Set achievable goals so you're not disappointed. Buy a used car because it's already depreciated. It's all nonsense. The reality is that when you make a lot of money, then you'll feel good about yourself. Most seminar speakers fill conference rooms with desperate audiences seeking the big lie about personal success. They serve up familiar platitudes. Achieve balance between business and personal life. Set achievable goals so you're not disappointed. Buy a used car because it's already depreciated. It's all nonsense. The reality is that every worthwhile goal has what I call a pay price to action. To achieve extraordinary results, you must sacrifice something else. It's always a trade-off. Look at Olympic champions like Michael Phelps, who sacrificed a normal childhood with his eat, sleep, and swim regimen to win 8 gold medals in Beijing. Despite being diagnosed with ADHD and told he'd never focus on anything, his commitment paid off through extreme discipline. When building my fortune, I paid the price by not seeing my family for 242 days during my daughter's first year. That costly sacrifice isn't for most people. That's why there are so few Ted Turners, Ross Perots, and Mary Kay Ashes in the world. The genuinely super successful understand that risk is necessary for growth. Without risk, there can be no quantum leap, the explosive, geometric growth that mere sales increases could never achieve. Many people take a risk or two, fail, and retreat beneath their shell of safety forever. The greatest successes experience the greatest failures. Babe Ruth held the all-time strikeout record, but we remember his home runs. Donald Trump has lost billions, but made billions more. High performers have a different perspective on failure. They understand that failure happens when you're actually doing something. They keep swinging the bat while most people never leave the dugout. To the high-performance person, fear is false expectations appearing real. Make every decision as if it's your final word on the matter. As I often say, I may be wrong, but I'm never in doubt. One of the differences between humans and lower animals is our capacity to evolve throughout our lives. We experience pivotal, life-changing events that transform us completely. My transformation began with expectations. When my first boss told me I should sell everybody who walked through the door, I achieved a remarkable 94.6% closing rate. Had he said to expect only 30% success, my potential would have been artificially limited. My military service provided another transformative experience. After flunking out of college and drifting aimlessly, I enlisted in the Army in 1966, becoming an officer by July 1967. My NATO assignment in Germany involved intelligence work through Checkpoint Charlie, teaching me that there were no real friends in geopolitics, only allies of convenience. The military forged an aimless kid into a disciplined adult. When the second oil crisis hit in 1979, I recognized a doorway of opportunity opening. Unlike many who let such doorways close out of fear, I left Bear Stearns to become president of Kennedy Industries, later forming JPK Industries as CEO and 50% owner. Despite knowing nothing about oil, I applied my business skills and confidence to create a vertically integrated oil company from scratch. After being ousted from my partnership with Pat Kennedy in January 1982, I founded Great Western Development Corporation, GWD, with just $1,000. I recognized that industries in chaos present the greatest opportunities. Find a chaotic industry, bring order to it, emerge with a company that provides leadership, and you'll make a fortune. In 1983, I conceived the idea to buy a castle, not just as a status symbol, but as a strategic business move. From my Wall Street experience, I knew financial institutions preferred to do business with those who appeared not to need their services. By June 1984, I discovered Guthrie Castle in Scotland, a 55-room medieval manor with turrets, a stone tower, and 156 acres of rolling estate. The transformation represented my journey from a Latino youth in an urban barrio to the laird of a Scottish castle, a physical manifestation of my quantum leap to success. Conventional wisdom is the opium of the people and the scripture of mediocrity. It stifles risk-taking and creative action through mindless platitudes that make losers feel better about themselves. Throughout my career, I've repeatedly been told, "You can't do that." I've compiled a list of 95 such instances, but have succeeded by ignoring these limitations. Before creating a successful company, you must first recreate yourself by cleansing your mind of conventional wisdom. Mental barriers often prevent achievement. Consider Roger Bannister breaking the impossible 4-minute mile in 1954, which was quickly followed by others once the psychological barrier was broken. Russian hotelier Boris Lasanovich defied conventional wisdom by opening Nepal's first hotel despite being told it was impossible in a 15th century kingdom with no roads or modern amenities. By purchasing a medieval palace and importing everything needed piece by piece, Lasanovich created the prestigious Hotel Yak and Yeti, demonstrating that impossible business feats are often simply those not yet attempted. I define morons as anyone whose advice or attitude would limit my success potential. These people are everywhere, at work, in your neighborhood, and even in your family. They've limited their thinking and would feel more comfortable if you limit yours too. You may even pay for conventional wisdom from conservative professionals like accountants earning $70,000 who shake their fingers saying, "You can't do that." When operating under new rules, you can't care if you repeatedly embarrass yourself. Just keep saying, "It doesn't matter what the morons say." New rules require new habits and companions. Successful entrepreneurs George and Deanne Verdier found their old social circle dropping them after their success grew. "We've been so successful that our old circle of friends was no longer comfortable around us," Deanne explained. Surround yourself with more successful people. I joined an expensive country club early in my career to absorb wisdom from retired executives. When facing important business decisions, put them in perspective by asking, "Will anybody die as a result of my decision?" Unlike Sophie's choice, most business decisions won't threaten lives. You might lose money or face inconvenience, but the earth won't tremble in its orbit. Keep your sights above today's worries and nitpicking details. Focus on the ends, not the means. By visualizing success as if it were already reality, you transport yourself into that future. To achieve super success, you must become comfortable in the high-performance environment through practice. Unlike most Americans who live in the same comfort zone their entire lives, high performers constantly expand their boundaries by pushing limits and seeking new experiences. I prepared myself early by joining clubs with retired CEOs, buying luxury cars before I could afford them, and dressing impeccably to practice being successful. The alternatives to expanding your comfort zone are boredom, anxiety, fear, and the certain death of growth potential. Writing down your vision clarifies it by removing ambiguity. Carry this written vision with you daily until it becomes part of your identity. Beyond merely thinking about the future, you must visualize specific details, not necessarily how you'll get there, but precisely where you're going. I visualized my company's Houston headquarters years before it existed, down to the marble floors and blonde receptionist, experiencing déjà vu when it finally materialized exactly as imagined. My five credos have guided me since the late 70s. 1. Yesterday's dreams are today's realities. Without dreams, you never progress or make quantum leaps. 2. See your dreams ahead of time now. Virtually everything I accomplished, I visualized beforehand. 3. Simulation. Practice within, then you're without. Think and act like the high-performance person you'll become before opportunity arrives. 4. Act as if there are no limits to your abilities. I've achieved more by pushing beyond where others stop. 5. Enthusiasm comes from the Greek word entheos, meaning God within. Enthusiasm generates the passion and determination necessary for high performance. While mastermind networks and CEO clubs are fashionable, truly top performers like Murdoch, Branson, Trump, and Gates are lone hunters who strike on their own counsel, not consensus. These networks often devolve into social groups rather than productive enterprises. The value of mentors is universally acknowledged, yet rarely solicited. I've had three pivotal mentors: Jim Newman, founder of PACE Organization, who taught me about comfort zones and negotiation tactics; Jerry Ormond, an oilman who guided me through the chaotic oil industry; and Constantine Costa-Gratzos, executive heir to the Onassis Empire. Select mentors who are significantly more successful than you, whom you genuinely like and respect, who achieve success in your field, though not mandatory, and with whom you share common interests beyond business. Super success begins with masterful illusion, not just creating what others believe, but what they must believe for you to achieve your goals. Perception is reality in business. As a young real estate salesman, I sold desert lots at Lake Havasu by helping prospects visualize their dreams rather than the barren reality. Within legal and ethical bounds, illusion becomes a weapon to build advantageous perceptions in stakeholders' minds. You only get one chance to make a first impression. I dress impeccably in Savile Row suits with gold accessories to immediately establish myself as different and powerful. This creates an intimidating presence that gives me the upper hand in business meetings, especially with bank loan officers. Consistency in your impression is vital, though occasional unpredictability keeps others alert. Perception creates reality through numerous examples. One of my disciples maintained the illusion of a large corporation while working from home by using an answering service as a corporate switchboard. The Verdiers carefully cultivate prestige for their craft shows by selecting only quality exhibitors and sponsors, recognizing that perception must eventually be backed by performance. My most dramatic example was purchasing a Scottish castle I could barely afford, using chauffeur-driven luxury cars when viewing properties to be taken seriously. Perception accelerates success, whether through luxury cars or exclusive club memberships, by encouraging others to see you as already successful. When you're perceived as successful, opportunities find you rather than you having to chase them. We live in a world of perceptions where nothing is as it seems, from political campaigns to business dealings, making it vital to craft your own advantageous reality. No matter how talented you are, achieving super success requires assembling others to help execute your vision. You must relinquish pride of authorship and entrust specialists with aspects of your business. Directors should be assembled before you begin operations, not as an afterthought. Recruit recently retired CEOs and executives who bring credibility, prestige, and experience to your venture. Your chairman should be an executive heavyweight who has completed hundreds of business transactions. Fill other positions with financial experts, accounting specialists, and individuals who've achieved what you're pursuing. Before approaching professional firms, create a mission statement articulating your vision. Use powerful language about dominating the industry and becoming a major force. Mention plans to consolidate a fragmented industry to signal geometric growth through acquisitions. From the beginning, engage a Big Four accounting firm rather than smaller local options. Present your mission emphasizing industry consolidation through acquisitions. Leverage your potential growth to negotiate flexible fee arrangements using terms like value-added fees and success-oriented fees. With lawyers, negotiate similar arrangements, perhaps $100 to $200 an hour if deals fail, but $550 to $600 an hour when successful. Always seek out hungry up-and-comers within these firms who can become your moles, professionals whose allegiance shifts to you. When seeking partners, look for individuals whose skills complement your own. You don't want another you, but someone who fills gaps in your strengths. Choose superior partners who elevate your performance rather than weaker ones who make you look good by comparison. When hiring key associates, look for experience, enormous talent, and most importantly, attitude over credentials. Seek people with appetites for adventure who salivated helping you conquer new territory. Above all, look for total commitment, people willing to work nights, weekends, and holidays when necessary. My dream team at Great Western included Mark Harrison and Charlie Soliday, men who shared my fervor for success and were driven by their own dreams. Mark, a brilliant lawyer specializing in oil and gas matters, started part-time and eventually became COO with 10% ownership. Charlie Soliday, formerly with Coopers & Lybrand, became my CFO with 10% ownership. Despite not being paid for 5 months initially, Charlie committed fully, often sleeping on my couch between meetings across the continent. Leadership is a towering peak with standing room for one. You can get advice from team members, but there's only one captain. People won't follow you just because you have a title. They must want to follow you. True leadership implies action and forward movement. History proves people prefer following a madman with clearly defined purpose than a nice guy with no apparent goals. As CEO, you have three jobs outside the office. First, kiss frogs. Meet countless people because one day one of those connections will help you make millions. Second, look for expansion opportunities, deals or schemes that create equity, not just income. Third, find other people's money, OPM. Meanwhile, your carefully selected dream team runs your operation with less control, not more. I have four rules for managing staff. First, pay your people good money. They'll do anything for you if compensated well. Second, never reprimand. Instead of criticism, ask questions that help employees learn from mistakes. Third, train employees for your job. Bring them into a sense of ownership by teaching them to do what you do. Fourth, never make decisions for your employees. Give them information, responsibility, and authority to implement their own actions. Making decisions swiftly and taking immediate action is essential for success. Warren Buffett calls unnecessary sitting and thinking thumb-sucking. Being decisive doesn't mean being reckless. It means weighing information, experience, intuition, and advice efficiently to move forward. Step 1. Identify the idea. Define exactly what deal you want to develop. You and your partners must agree on the basic strategy and its feasibility. At Great Western Resources, our vision was becoming a major player in international energy through acquisitions rather than internal growth. Step 2. Investigate generalities. Before investing time and money, investigate thoroughly. we needed to understand why MAPCO wanted Bow Valley's assets and why Bow Valley would sell to a smaller company like Great Western. Investigation means searching for red flags. When you find even one, exit immediately. Step 3. Investigate specifics. Recheck your sources for details you might have missed. When risking millions, probe beneath the surface of any company or individual. Look for personal issues like drinking problems, drug use, treatment of employees, or other behaviors that could affect business. Step 4. Commit to the idea. Getting your dream team to hold the same vision is one achievement. Getting them to commit to the fight is another. Partners and executives must publicly commit to the project. Any reservations need to be aired and addressed. Step 5. Make the preliminary decision. Your team commits to moving forward, understanding this isn't the final decision, but a working consensus. Now you must become the cheerleader, generating enough energy and momentum that when battle is joined, your team charges forward with no thought of defeat. Step 6. Continue the investigation. This isn't redundant. Your investigators should continue their work as long as the project remains viable. Don't trust the people you're trying to buy or your competitors. Where millions are at stake, integrity is usually the first casualty. Step 7. Formulate your action plan. When every indicator says go, you must push the button. Get your partners to make that final commitment and then keep momentum at fever pitch. Never express doubt. Even the slightest negative reaction can spread like wildfire through company morale. Step 8. Establish your critical path. Chart the sequence of events necessary for success and create instruments to measure progress. Like a construction manager, develop a flowchart with timelines for securing financing, nailing down guarantees, and starting negotiations. Step 9. Implement and follow up. The complexities of a multi-million-dollar deal are like constructing a giant house of cards. Every link must hold simultaneously. Follow-up becomes a fine art. Don't take anything for granted. Even your most trusted partners can let details slip. Step 10. Execute. Bombay doors open. With financing and guarantees in place, you must lead from the front. No more phone calls, faxes, or emails. Your intimidating presence, scowling face, and hardened determination must stand before the enemy across the table. Step 11. Review and reevaluate. Return to review every detail of steps 1 through 10 if execution fails. When the Bow Valley USA deal seemed dead, I took direct command. I launched an offensive of threatened injunctions and legal filings, spending over $100,000 in legal fees in 48 hours. After 72 hours and 2 fistfights, we closed the deal. Great Western paid $116 million for Bow Valley's coal operations and $25 million for oil and gas interests, plus another $7 million for additional assets. In war and business alike, you must act as if there are no limits to your abilities, and failure is not an option. Like the Chinese general Han Xin, who positioned his army with their backs to a river, giving them no choice but to fight or die, high performers create situations where retreat is impossible. In high-performance companies, strategy must dictate structure, not the reverse. Structure describes organizational makeup, org charts, chains of command, and the way things have always been done. Strategy requires thought to exist and implies movement toward objectives. At Great Western, we maintained basic organizational structure but remolded it instantly to meet strategic needs when pursuing acquisitions. Conflict is a natural part of life that results when people pursue varying interests and priorities. Despite what idealists believe, conflict isn't necessarily bad. It weeds out losers while confirming the superior's right to prevail. Business deals at high performance levels concentrate conflict because the stakes are so high. Negotiating isn't for the touchy-feely. People who'd rather be loved than victorious invariably lose. As J. Paul Getty said, "The meek shall inherit the earth, but not its mineral rights." Skillful negotiators are forceful, persistent, perceptive, and patient. The key to winning is making others think they want what you've got more than you want what they've got. I maintain 5 ground rules for negotiations. 1. Suits required, showing this is your absolute top priority. 2. My place, home team advantage with familiar surroundings. 3. My contract, volunteer to draft it with your lawyer's carefully crafted language. 4. Nobody leaves until the deal is done. Prepare for a non-stop marathon. 5. Everyone necessary for a final decision must be present. Borrowing money is like sex. Both parties want it, but lenders need reassurance and foreplay. Many potentially successful people are still held back by fear when approaching lenders, yet not a single death has ever been attributed to rejection by a banker. Capital finances quantum leaps, not pussyfooting. As CEO, your primary job is finding money, other people's money, and deals. Banks fund about 60% of business ventures, making them your primary target. Look in phone books, read business sections of newspapers, which often publish quarterly lists of banks seeking borrowers, and check magazines like Entrepreneur and Inc. that periodically publish state-by-state lists of lending institutions. Don't limit your search to your local market. I recommend going outside it. Remember 2 critical facts. There's more money available than people trying to borrow it, and bankers want to lend you money because that's how they earn their living. When meeting bankers, position yourself as interviewing them rather than begging for money. Build relationships with individual bankers, not institutions. If your banker moves to another bank, follow them. Don't wait until you urgently need money before approaching bankers. Start building relationships months before you need funding. Begin by positioning yourself, mentioning future funding needs with figures higher than you'll actually require. After several meetings and relationship building, present your actual request. Your board of directors provides crucial credibility with bankers. When lenders express interest in meeting your board, arrange it. Select board members with recognition in your business community. Retired successful executives whose reputations are beyond reproach. After securing financing, maintain regular contact with your bankers through calls, lunches, or golf outings. Stay informed about changes in bank policies that might affect your credit lines. I recommend establishing a loan rotation strategy. Borrow from Bank A, then refinance with Bank B to pay off Bank A, then with C to pay off Bank B. For high performers, arithmetic growth is unacceptable. Geometric, exponential growth is demanded. The real secret to quantum growth is acquisition. Purchasing equity assets that multiply a company's net worth geometrically so it can be sold to generate substantial wealth. Investors are essentially buying future value, sort of like buying thin air while paying cash up front. When contemplating your first business transactions, you must prepare for 3 great personal hazards. First, the depth of personal commitment required means your acquisition deal must take precedence over normal personal considerations, demanding total commitment of time and energy. Second, you must be willing to risk everything financially. If you're unwilling to put your savings, home, car, and child's education on the line, don't try to buy a business. Third, you must endure extreme stress, requiring the mindset of a high performer who can suck up my pantyhose, act tough, slash enemies, take hostages, and kill prisoners to reach goals. Before raising capital, you need to clarify several basic issues. First, stick to your knitting by looking for a business in which you already have expertise and that you enjoy. Choose an industry that is fragmented and dominated by mom-and-pop companies, large enough to handle your acquisition aspirations, and enjoys a 20-40% profit margin. Once you've defined your requirements, don't rush to buy the first great deal that appears. Begin by scanning business opportunities sections in newspapers and publications like The Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Entrepreneur, and Inc. Contact local business brokers with written specifications of what you're seeking, but don't sign exclusive contracts. Most business owners are protective of their companies and want assurance their baby will be in good hands, with employees protected and customers well served. To establish credibility, have your lawyer or accountant make the initial contact or provide references from your professional network. Before acquisition, examine profit trends over at least 3 years, looking for steady growth rather than sudden spikes. Have your Big Four accounting firm conduct a thorough acquisition audit. Your capital source will expect a 35% annual return on investment after salary and debt payments, though you shouldn't accept less than 20%. The business world is filled with once bold entrepreneurs who have settled into comfortable roles as community leaders. Though they took risks to build their businesses initially, many have lost their appetite for further growth and challenges. The truly successful high performer understands that the strategies that generated the first quantum leap can be repeated. Unless you're thrown out by shareholders, you have two exit strategy options: die or sell. As a company owner, you need to pull money out to pay yourself so you can enjoy the lifestyle you've earned. Many owners feel guilty about rewarding themselves. That mentality is fine if you never intend to sell, but if you do plan to sell, you'll feel less obligated to squeeze every penny from the deal if you've been paying yourself all along. The market, not you, will determine your company's value. Fair market value is what your company can bring in open exchange between buyer and seller in an uncontrolled environment. Bring in professionals for valuations, though any serious buyer will conduct their own, basing decisions on what they think projections are after examining your records from 3 years back. Just as 4-H kids puff up their prize pigs before judging, you need to prepare your company before taking it to market. This means timing your sale during favorable economic and industry cycles, cleaning up your physical premises, shoring up your organizational structure, assembling a credible board of directors, creating professional corporate literature, cleaning up your financials, securing stable long-term contracts, organizing your paperwork, implementing information control systems, and developing a transition management team. You must act within 21 hours of finishing this book, or you never will. Conventional wisdom is almost always wrong, and most people have a loser mentality. You now know you can achieve super success by making decisions, taking risks, and focusing on ends rather than means. Think big, have passion for your dream, and practice success daily by taking actions that assume you're already successful. Visualize your dream in detail, write it down, and read it daily. Find a mentor. Build your dream team and follow the 11 steps that make the deal. Forget about safety nets. Commit fully to your dream. Action really is the key to making it big in this world littered with layabouts and armchair dreamers. Anyone can say they want super success. Anyone can set goals for super success. Anyone can dream of super success. But the rewards come only to those who actually do something, not talk about doing something.